All right, I am on. Good.
Anybody need handouts? Raise your hand.
There's no clip on that. All right. All right, so welcome. come on in. I'm super duper excited, you guys, about this class. This book is special to me. I first read it 20 years ago when I was a young wife and mother, and somebody told me I needed to read that. So that tells you what you need to know right there. I did need to read it, and honestly, I have taught this book several times, and every time I go back and read it, even though I know how he's going to say things and what the content is, it's always relevant to my life. This is an issue that probably if you read the biography of Christy Lewis, which you wouldn't, but if it were a thing, this would actually be a major theme of what God has done in my life, is how to overcome the bondage that being afraid of people and what they think of you can put you in. And so that is something that Marty and Carmen and I have prayed about for you. We've prayed specifically for you guys. That if any of you are in that similar spot who are like, oh, I need to go to this class, guess what? We would get along, okay? if some of you might have just been interested, or you're helping a young person, or you're helping another friend, we should cover it all. I hope that this will be really useful for you. Ed Welch is my favorite author, but it's okay if he's not yours, okay? But the content is super, super great. Oh, we have a stand. Yay. Thank you so much. All right. This will help. All right, the structure of our class is going to be a little bit different than maybe some ADEs. If you, we did a women's marriage class last year. If you were in that, this is going to be similar structure to that, where we're going to spend the first half hour talking about what we read, kind of sharing some more examples from Scripture that maybe aren't even in the book, and we'll give you a good idea of what Scripture says on this. And then we are going to split up in small groups, and I was kind of laughing to myself. I'm like, oh great, a fear of people class, and I'm going to make them split up in small groups and pray together. Isn't that great? So I get it if that's not your cup of tea, but here's why. I want to tell you why I think that's so important. One is just that I am the type of learner who really likes to talk it out. So I take it in and I process by talking. Some of you may not be that way, but I am, and so I always love to have that opportunity in a class to be like, okay, I just heard this. Let me talk it out with somebody and make sure that I'm getting, you know, what it is. So you'll have an opportunity just to answer a few questions, raise questions if something I said didn't make sense or whatever. That's why we do it. The second reason is just to form friendships. Sometimes it's hard on a Sunday morning, right? You have your certain people you see, and it's harder to get to know each other. So I want to allow for that time for us to form those friendships. And then, because actually that's a huge part when we get to the latter end of this course, is how do we love people for the glory of God, right? And so you need people in your life. And so hopefully if you don't have somebody like that, I'm praying that this class might provide you with a friend that you can talk to about some of these things. And then the final reason is we do need to be praying, because it's God who sets us free. And so it's easy to say, I'm going to pray about this, but we don't always, right? And so we're going to take a little bit of time in class just to ask God to really work to change us. I wish I could tell you like, oh, just take this class, you'll be set for life, but I just told you this is an ongoing issue for me. So it is for everybody, because it's about trusting God. And as we pray and ask him for help, he's going to answer. But it's a lifelong process. So let's get into chapter one. I know some of you just got the book, so please don't panic. I realize that chapter one is an easy read in both books. So you can decide if you want to be the person who goes to class first, then reads throughout the week about what we just discussed, which is what you're on track for right now. Or if you want to be someone who reads ahead of class so that you know what we're going to talk about. So in that case, if you want to be that person, go ahead and read chapter one and two for next week. And they're, like I said, chapter one's not that hard to get through, so that should be doable. Any other housekeeping things, Carmen? Did we cover it all?
I think you're good.
Okay, I think we're good. So we're going to get into this. This morning, I'm going to be a little silly, and I hope you will go with me on this journey a little bit. This right here, some of you might recognize this from a TV show, so please but forgive me for that. But this right here is my love cup, okay? When it is filled up, I feel loved, I feel accepted, I feel respected, I feel valued. In short, I feel good, right? And this is filled up. But today, I have to teach an ADE in front of people that some of them I haven't even really met. And what if they think my analogy is too silly? What if they're like, oh, she's stumbling, I can tell she's nervous, what if I say the wrong thing? What if this water spills all over me, right? So, oh no, I'm empty. I need more love. So Carmen, will you come up here, please? I didn't tell you her I was gonna do this. So Carmen, you need to fill up my love cup, okay? So Carmen's gonna fill up my love cup by telling me something like, you're such a great friend, or giving me a hug, or giving
you're
me a
really
compliment.
Great teacher. You're doing a great
you.
Job. I just
thank
you. Your shirt.
You're a wonderful person. This is awesome. Thank you so much. All right, so Carmen just filled up my cup. But it's still getting pretty low here. All right, thank you. You can sit down. Oh no, it's getting low. My child just yelled at me. My boss said I didn't do a good job. And shoot, I'm empty again. It didn't last very long, right? Oh, maybe I got a card from my friend. And that encouraged me a little bit, right? So here we go. We're going to fill up this love cup again. And as you can tell, we have a problem. This love cup right here doesn't hold very much, right? Because why? It's got leaks. It's got lots of leaks in here. This is actually a piece from a game. That's why I was like, oh, it has holes in the bottom. This is perfect. And it actually kind of works because World's Best Boss, you know, that could fill you up too. All right, so it didn't last very long. I have a lot of water in the bowl. Not feeling very full in my cup. The first chapter, if you read when people are big and God small, is called Love Takes with a Leak. Love Tanks with a Leak, okay? So I hope this image has now gotten in your mind what he's talking about. This illustration, we sometimes use people to fill us up because it feels good, right? It's tangible. And it's a good thing. I am friends with Carmen. Like, I love it when she tells me, like, yay, right? That's good. However, if I need it, that's what we're going to be talking about. We can get trapped into needing this love cup to be full, right? And then we can get frustrated because it doesn't last. That bondage, that captivity, in Scripture, in most of your translations, it's going to call it fear of man, all right? We call it a lot of other things, but the Scripture often calls it fear of man, and it means mankind. It doesn't mean men in specific, right? I'm going to use in this class fear of people just because we don't use man as mankind quite as much anymore, right? So we don't have any confusion. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then we're going to look a little bit at what Scripture does have to say today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your love to us. We praise you so much for your grace. And Father, I just ask right now that if anyone in this room, including myself, which I know is positive, can sometimes get trapped in this captivity of what people think of them or of needing something from others, that you would set us free to love others wholeheartedly because we love you. That you would set us free to trust you more than we put our trust in people. Father, this is only a work that you can do. It's not natural to us. And so we ask for your help in this class, and we ask for your help as we even dive into this material. I pray that people would be encouraged and not discouraged as we're starting out looking at our sin first. I pray that you would help us to really turn to you and to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so sometimes it's obvious, okay? There's a stereotype of fear, right? The wallflower introvert type who panics whenever anybody ever talks to them, right? Those people exist, right? And if you've ever been shy, or you've let being shy keep you from doing what you know would be a blessing to another person, I think we could all maybe relate to that, right? Have you ever been shy enough to be like, I know this would be a blessing, but I don't know if I'm going to do that. We can relate to that fear of man. But we're actually talking about something that's actually even bigger and even more encompassing than that, although it definitely includes that. In fact, you can be an outgoing, extroverted, successful, confident person and still be plagued by putting your trust in people. This quote really stuck with me. Some of you followed the Olympics 2020 coverage recently. And one of the gymnasts, Simone Biles, most considered to be the best gymnast ever, right? She has had the courage to speak out against abuse in the USA Gymnastics Organization and the courage to compete at this amazing level, right? This is a courageous person. But when she was unable to compete because of whatever happened, you know, in her head, they called it the twisties, affected her ability to rotate in the air, she had this to say, and this quote really just stuck out to me as I was studying. She says, "It's bad when you do feel the weight of the world, and you feel like there are no outlets for the amount of training that we do. We are totally prepared, but it just stinks when you're fighting with your own head. Like, you want to do it for yourself, but you're still too worried about what everybody else is going to say on the internet sometimes." And that really stuck with me because an athlete that many consider fearless, she's reached the pinnacle of success with tons of gold medals, right? She's telling us she still feels this, right? She still feels trapped. In fact, she might feel it more than some of us because of the position she's in. What will people say when I fail? And in fact, people did say some negative things when she had to withdraw, didn't they? So she wasn't wrong to fear that, exactly. It did happen. But that's a bondage. Do we see that? Like, that's a captivity to always have to be on, to always be gold, to always succeed. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Fear of the Lord is a huge term in Scripture. And if you look in your notes, Ed Welch also says this in his book, but the idea of fear in Scripture, like when we're talking about fear of the Lord or fear of man, is this idea of awe, respect, being controlled by, worshiping, putting your trust in, and needing. That's a little different than just like, oh, I'm afraid of the dark, right? It's a much broader thing that we're talking about here. So let's think about that in the positive way. If we're in awe of the Lord, right? We have a right view of him. We're worshiping him. If we're needing him every hour, we have a right view of ourselves, right? That we need him. If we're controlled by him, we're controlled by his spirit, then we're producing fruit. We're worshiping him. However, Scripture often contrasts this with what we're talking about, fear of people, fear of man. Let's think about what that means with that definition. That means we are respecting people like more than we respect God. We might be respecting both, but they're a little bigger, right? We are maybe being controlled by others. We are maybe putting our trust in them to fill up this love cup, right? We're needing them more than we need God. Like, I just need somebody, right? There's a famous song out there right now, right? I need someone. That would be the theme of this class right here. And when we get there, we're in dangerous territory because that fear of man, that definition of fear, can drive a friendly, successful, confident extrovert or somebody who's really down on themselves and spiraling in depression. It can be the root of both, right, of what both are struggling with. So number one, I hope you get out of this, is every single person in this class is struggling with this, okay? Whether you recognize it as an issue in your life yet or not, we all struggle with it. Some of you maybe know it really well and are like, I'm the only one who struggles with it this much. I guarantee you, you're not. I've felt that before. You're not. As we reach out to each other, we see that. Whether we consider ourselves failures or successes, let's talk about what do we sometimes call this problem so we can start recognizing it a little better. What do you guys think are some of the ways, words that we use to talk about fear of people? You know, as scripture does, how do we talk about it? Any thoughts? People pleasing, that's a really good one. Yep. What else? Any other thoughts? How about self-esteem?
Codependency.
How about fear of rejection? Any others you guys can think of? There's a big one we talk about when we talk about kids. Peer pressure, right? That's a big one. But guess what? Adults have peer pressure too. What else did I have in here? Oh, shame. We're going to get more into this version of it next week. How about self-conscious? That's a really nice term we sometimes use for it, right? It sounds so much better than the rest of these. I'm just a little self-conscious. Over all of these, what I'm going to say is that we are controlled by the opinions of others, okay? Or we're controlled even by what we think are the opinions of others. It may not even be what they actually think. That's a big one, right? So we are controlled by others. And of course, scripture calls it the fear of man or fear of people. I have the quote there from the book on page 17. You could even use the phrase fear of other people to describe the experience. When you fear something, you're controlled by it. If you fear people, you're controlled by people. So just like this love cup analogy, it's an endless cycle, right? It doesn't stop, and you can see how that is trapping you. Just when we feel filled up in love, so there could be big events in your life, like, I just found a spouse who loves me. I am never going to feel lonely ever again, right? Some of you have been married longer know that that is not true. Or maybe you've just made a best friend, right? And you're just like, I've been wanting this so long. It is a good thing, by the way. Rejoice in that. But we think, oh, this is it. I feel filled up. Maybe we got recognized at work. Finally, we've been working so hard and people finally get how hard we work, right? And that feels good. But then what happens? A new trial comes along, knocks us right back down again, right? It doesn't last very long. I know at least in marriage, my first year was actually like, I was very, very dewy-eyed, romantic. And my first year of marriage, I was like, this is hard. Why is he not the prince in the Disney movie, right? Like, what? Why is he not completing me, you know, like Jerry Maguire? Because that's not his function and goal either, right? On top of that, even the people we're closest to do let us down because they're sinners. They sin against us. They sometimes forget about us because we're only human, right? We forget about people that we love. Sometimes it happens. We forget to write people back, like when they text us or call us. I might be really bad about that. They aren't dependable. So if we put all of our trust in them to fill us, we're going to be this constant leaking. Page 13 says, since those days, I've spoken with hundreds of people who end up at the same place. They are fairly sure that God loves them, but they also want or need love from other people. Or at least they need something from other people. As a result, they're in bondage, controlled by others, and feeling empty. They're controlled by whoever or whatever they believe can give them what they think they need. So what we need, what we think we need, will control us. So what is supposed to control us? What do we need? This is the Sunday school answer. You can reply with that one. We need Jesus, right? We need Christ to set us free. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us. That's what we're really longing for. There's two pictures. I have it in your notes, but if you have your Bible, you may also open to Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. That's where we're going to camp out a little bit today. But before that, I want to just talk about Proverbs 29:25. It warns that the fear of man is a trap. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So snare is another word for trap, right? It's a trap that like hunters set. That's what a snare is. So it's this trap out there for us that we can get caught in to fear people. And that's what scripture is saying. So we need to really maybe open our eyes and be like, okay, I don't want to be caught in this trap. So Jeremiah 17:5-10, there's two pictures in here that kind of replace our love cup analogy. This is scripture's illustration now. It says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Okay. Are you encouraged? Aren't you just so encouraged? No. this is a hard one, right? Someone who trusts and put all their trust in people, this is a big curse, right? It's this idea of a plant in the desert that's gonna shrivel up and die, pretty much, right? That's what we're getting out of this. We got a wasteland and a desert bush. None of us want to be there, right? None of us want to be there. We don't want to be constantly thirsty and a bush without its source of water. But God does not leave us with that image, okay? And you'll see that all throughout scripture of who God is. He knows who we are. He knows this is our problem. He never leaves us there. I'm so thankful that he gives us the hope right afterwards. So let's keep reading. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. All right, so our new image, no cup here to be filled. This is a tree that is planted right at the stream with its roots in the stream. So a drought's not going to affect it, right? Because the water is always there because it is planted and rooted in the right spot. It doesn't fear, it says. It's kind of weird to think about a tree fearing, right? Saying when we're like this, we don't fear when the heat comes. The heat always comes, right? All throughout life. But the leaves can continue to bear fruit because of where the roots are. Isn't that a beautiful image? Don't you want to be that tree by the stream? It's a beautiful image. And it's easy to see the contrast between the two, right? Because people are not that constant stream. So why do we think that fear of people is such a universal problem? So the next two verses you've probably heard, and I've probably always thought of them as kind of negative, but it's interesting that they're in this whole image of fear, of trusting Lord, putting your fear in the Lord. It says in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. All right, it's kind of hard for us to be like, wow, my heart is deceitful and desperately sick. That's not what our world tells us, right? They say, trust your heart, run after it. So it's a little hard, like, whoa, I'm desperately sick. But it's a warning that if we just look to ourselves and what we think we need, we are going to be deceived and we're going to end up like this desert plant. So we have to turn to God and scripture instead, because the Lord is the one who actually searches us and knows us. So some of the work we're going to do in this class, you guys, I'm going to be real upfront. Because it's so universal and it touches who we are so much, sometimes it'll be hard. It'll be hard to see this in yourself and be like, oh man, this is everywhere. I can't make a decision without fear of man. Yes, that's probably true, but the Lord searches our hearts. And so what he gives you in this class, the things he allows you to see, he is going to bless you by rooting you by that stream. And this is my prayer. This is my prayer for all of us and for our teaching team as well. So we'll finish a little bit of this next week, I think, because I'm trying to gauge my time here. But what the Bible has to say is that we will see his faithfulness where our faithlessness is. Does that make sense? So where we're faithless, and the more we see it, we're going to see his faithfulness, and that he is a refuge. So one question that we'll talk about more next week is, some of you might see people pleasing and be like, but wait, isn't it right that I should try and please other people and not myself? Doesn't scripture also say that, right? We're to be servants. We are to love other people well. Yes, absolutely. What we're talking about is the motive for doing so. What is in the heart? So are you doing so to fill up your love cup and to feel like, oh, people like me, people want me around? Or are you doing so to honor the Lord? And that's really where we're going in this class and what we'll talk about more and uncover some of these different layers. So page 25, this is in your notes. It says, the problem comes when we desire it too much, when our desire for love becomes the center of life. When you think about it, it makes us the center of our own lives. The problem is when we want to be loved more than we want to love. If only life could be a little bit less about us, right? So that's our prayer. If there are any of you, please just come talk to me. If there are any of you who leave more discouraged than encouraged after a class, please come talk to me, because that is not our goal at all. Our goal is to look at this wonderful God and to put our faith and trust in him. If any of you deal specifically with this type of fear of man, of shame, which I definitely, God has done a lot in my heart with that, please come talk to me, because sometimes it's hard to even look at your sin. You just want to beat yourself up and be like, I'm going to be better. And that's not the answer. The answer is to turn to Christ. And so I'm saying that because you can go ahead and get out your next piece of notes that I gave you. And it says, does the fear of man control you? Does anybody need it? It looks like this. Okay. There you go. This is a long list, and I know it's a long list, okay? It's two pages. So it's a long list. There you go. We're going to take about 5 minutes to self-reflect. You can do this in several ways. Some of you may want to take out a pencil and just make a tiny little mark by some of the ones that you're like, oh yeah, this is the big issue for me. Some of you are like, no way, this is fear of man class. I'm not gonna let anybody else see that I'm marking anything. That's fine too, totally fine. But I want you to actually take time to read through it and kind of notice too which areas are the hardest for you, because that will help you as we're trying to put on the right things here and trust God more, to kind of know where in our lives this shows up the most. So I'll give you 5 minutes just to read that and go through that.